Everybody, if you have your Bible, just want you to hold up your Bible. Say, this is my Bible. This is God speaking to me. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will receive the incorruptible, ever-living Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. We have been talking all week, or all month actually, of worship. And we started off by talking about what is worship. And then last week we talked about thanksgiving in worship. And then this week we're talking about worship in giving. You know, there's something about giving that touches the heart of God. You know, God is the greatest giver of all. There's no person on earth that will ever give as much as God has. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave. What did He give? He gave His only Son. And whosoever believes or receives that gift has eternal life. And when we give our lives to God, see, giving is much more than money. It's about your whole self. God is a jealous God, isn't He? He said, if you have any other gods before me, it's not going to work out. He is very jealous. And He wants us to give to Him on a level that shows our love and our trust and our relationship with Him. And there's something that just unlocks God's heart about giving. Do you realize that every person that ever built an altar in the Bible, it cost them something? They had to build the altar. They had to offer the sacrifice. They had to, you know, do whatever's involved in that. But it cost them something. And God wants us to worship Him in a lifestyle. Amen? And serving God is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you your pride. It's going to cost you your way, your rights. You know, but in doing that, there are great, enormous, abundant rewards that God promises to give us in return. Amen? So let's read in Deuteronomy 26. We'll start with verse 1. And it says, "And it shall be when you are come in unto the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance, and possess it, and dwell therein." I want you to notice, first of all, everything that you have comes from where? God. It didn't come from you. It didn't come from your... It comes from God. There's no self-made person on this earth. Amen? Notice, and God was... He said, when you come into the land that God gives you for an inheritance, and you possess it, and dwell there, that you shall take of the first, everybody say the first, of all the fruit of the earth, which you shall bring of your land and the Lord your God, that the Lord your God gives you, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place the Lord your God shall choose to place His name there. So far, all I'm seeing, this is all about God. Amen? He gives you the land. He gives you the fruit, and all He wants is a portion of it back. Amen? You can have, He told Adam, He said, Adam, I've given you this garden. You can have the garden. You can have every tree, every fruit, except this one tree. Don't touch that tree, because that is not yours. That is mine. And what happened? We know Adam touched the tree, didn't he? It affected us all. But if you were How many times, don't be so hard on Adam, because how many times have we done something wrong, knowing it was wrong, we would have done the same thing that Adam did. So we can't really blame him. Okay, so there's something that we need to do first for God. Verse 3, and you shall go unto the priest that shall be in those days, and say to him, I profess this day unto the Lord your God, that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And the priest shall take the basket out of your hand, and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall speak and say before the Lord your God, Assyrian made me to perish, or Assyrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt, and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation great and mighty and populous. He's talking about Jacob, who went to Syria before he went into Egypt. Okay? And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. Everybody say hard bondage. They were made slaves in Egypt. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and on our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and has given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey. Every time God wants to get something to you, it's all about flowing. He thinks of lands flowing. And when you think of a river, it's flowing, it's abundant, it's moving. Amen? God's got things constantly moving from heaven to us. And verse 10, and now behold, I have brought the first fruits, everybody say first fruits, of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it before the Lord your God and worship, everybody say worship, before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given unto you and unto your house, you and the Levites and the stranger that is among you. So here he is telling the Israelites that when you get into the land that I've already given you, it's the promised land. What is the promised land for a believer? It's every good benefit that comes from Jesus Christ. Our promised land is everything that God gives to us through Jesus Christ. It's redemption. It's salvation. It's peace, joy, love. It's abundance. It's provision, protection. It's peace. Okay? So our promised land is all the blessings in Christ Jesus. Promised land is not heaven. Why? Why isn't it heaven? Because in the promised land, they had to face giants. In the promised land, they had battles. In the promised land, see, in heaven, there are no giants. In heaven, there is no pain. Once you get to heaven, you don't have to get anything else. All right? But he gave them that when you come into the land, you've got to take some of the first. What's so important about the first? Something that is first is most precious to you. The first tomato on the plant. The first child that you have. What do business owners do? They put the first dollar that they make on the wall oftentimes. Because the first is the most precious to us. And God ought to be first in our life. So we ought to give that which is most precious to us to Him. Because He gave us that was most precious to Him to us. See, by this, they were instructed to remember the kindness of God in preserving them through so many difficulties that they faced. He brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage, and he paid them for 400 years of back wages. When they when they left Egypt, the Bible says that they plundered Egypt by going and borrowing stuff. And they used that stuff to build the tabernacle and everything that they needed. But we've got to remember how good God is and how he fulfills every one of his promises. There's not one promise that God has given that he will not make good on. The problem is we don't do our part to reap the promise or to receive the benefit. How many know that the promises of God are not automatic? Is it God's will for everyone to be saved? Yes. Okay? How come everybody's not saved? Well, some people don't know that salvation is available to them. Some people know that it is, but they choose to reject it, which is amazing in itself. But how many, before we knew Christ, how many opportunities did we have to accept or reject him? Thank God he's patient, amen? Thank God he's got grace and mercy. Thank God. So they were to bring the first fruits into the place that God would choose to put his name, where the priest served in that time, and they were instructed to do this. All right? Go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to discover how we can worship God in our giving. Now, to a giver, this is going to be an encouragement. But to someone who's not, we will be having Band-Aids after the service. Because you might say, ouch, a little bit. It might hurt a little bit. All right? Proverbs chapter 3, starting with verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Everybody say, all your increase. Okay? So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. So how do we honor God with our substance? How do you bring honor and glory to God with a thing? You allow God to instruct you to, wherever he wants you to use that thing, go ahead and use it. You know, you could have 10 houses. You could have 20 cars, you could have a couple planes, and that's okay. Everybody say, that's okay. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good. But see, all those things are tools for the king. As long as you make yourself available to use whatever you have for God when he wants to use it, he'll let you have anything that you want. He'll get things to you as long as he can get it through you. But if he can't get it through you, if all those things become an issue where they take you away from God, where they destroy your relationship, now they become an idol, and now there's a problem. I mean, think about it. All the gold and the silver, who does it belong to? God. I mean, gold is up, I heard recently. So, you know, what, $800 an ounce, I heard the last thing? That's pavement in heaven. That's what he makes the streets out of in heaven. So, gold is not the issue. But it's what you do with it first. It's what you do first. Now, he said, when you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you begin to grow crops and you begin to raise animals, you know, you're going to get some bucks, aren't you? Okay? Woo, look at all this stuff that I got. Excuse me. Who gave you the ability to get that stuff? Who created your mind? Who gave you the gifts and talents? Who gave you the strength? Who gives you the air that you breathe and doesn't charge you anything for it? Well, let's see. I've got my mortgage payment. I've got my car payment. I've got my phone bill. I've got my electric. I've got my cable. What did I just do? I reversed the order. I didn't put God first. I put everything else first. When you put everything else first, you're in danger of losing all this stuff. But when you put God first, and you take out what God's first, He will bless the rest. We'll use these a little bit later. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. That's the last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew. Some say Malachi, some say Malachi, however you want to say it. Every time I hear of Malachi, I think of Chachi on Happy Days. All right, let's start with verse 8. Okay? Now I want you to remember that in Deuteronomy, he was talking about giving in relation to worship. Giving is one way how you worship the Lord, by giving. By giving your life, by giving your substance, by giving your things. And when you do, God will bless you. Okay? He's just asking for a portion. All right? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Everybody say tithes and offerings. Those are the two categories of giving that the Bible talks about, tithes and offerings. What's a tithe? A tithe is a tenth. So if you earn $10, what is a tenth? $1. If you earn $100, a tenth is $10. If you earn $1,000, a tenth is $100, so on and so forth. Amen? Thank you for being such great math students. So tithes and offerings are the two categories in which God brings blessing to your life. He says, now you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, bring all the tithes. Everybody say, all the tithes. Where do you bring it? Into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, Fiona and I, we experienced this literally when we were in Tennessee. Right before we were getting married, I was working in a Christian school. And we were getting married in May. And the school season was ending, and I didn't have any other work for the summer. Well, what was it, a month before we got married? Fiona lost her job. Okay? But we always put God first. Okay? So I'm about to not have a job, and my salary as a teacher was $11,500 for the year. And we were about to get married, and we were about to move into our first home. Well, the Lord worked it all out. We were able to move into the home, and we had an 1,800-square-foot home in Tennessee with 3 bedrooms and 2 baths and a big backyard that was fenced in. We had one piece of furniture. That was a wooden table that we bought for $35. A kitchen table, and it was blue. Thank God our kitchen was blue. That was the only piece of furniture that we had. All of a sudden, furniture started coming to our house. We had a dining room table because the house had a separate dining room. We had 3 bedrooms. All of a sudden, we had three beds for the bedrooms. Our first night in the house, we slept on the floor on a mattress because we didn't have a couch. We didn't have anything. But all of a sudden, in a period of a few months, we had a piece of furniture for every room. We had a couch in the living room, a couch downstairs. We had three bedrooms, and we had furniture. Praise the Lord. The whole house was furnished. You talk about rooms not being able to contain it? Well, that's just because you're a good person. No, it has nothing to do with being a good person. It has something to do with having a relationship with God and putting Him first. And when you honor God, He will honor you. He will make up the difference when you're going through a trial and a struggle. God will be there as long as you put Him first back here. See, the first thing that they were to do when they entered into the land, they were to take of the first of the fruits. And they were to bring it before the priest in a basket. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, He'll bless your baskets. Notice, the people were to bring it. It's important for you to bring it. Oh, I'm just going to send it in. No, God wants you here as well as everything else. If He doesn't have you, what does He have? He has a robot. No, God wants you here. You're to bring it. Everybody say, bring it. God was the first one who said, bring it. Now, why is this important? Number one is we need to acknowledge God as the giver of all good things. Say this with me. Say, God is a giver. Say, He's the greatest giver. He's like Muhammad Ali. He says, I'm the greatest giver there ever was, there ever will be, there ever has been. I'm the greatest giver. Muhammad Ali kept saying, I'm the greatest. We got to acknowledge God as the giver of all good things which support and comfort our natural life. And therefore, we are to serve and honor Him with them. When I was in college, I had a Saturn, a 93 Saturn. It was given to me brand new. First new car I've ever had. And there was a friend of mine who was from Alaska. And the first semester that he came, he didn't have a vehicle. And he needed to go to Georgia or something, which was 2 hours away. So I let him use my car. He was a friend of mine. I knew him, but I said, here, take the keys. He came back and he was like, I was so amazed that you let me use your car. I said, well, God gave it to me and I just want it to be a blessing to others. Number two, we need to deny ourselves. We can be very selfish and materialistic. I mean, everybody on the news talks about how much sales went up on this Black Friday rush. You know, they're expected to have sales of so much percentage increase. And they push materialism. And so it's very easy for us to become materialistic, to become attached to things. Oh, I love my things. These are my things. Don't you touch my things. This is my things. Well, what if God wants to use your thing over here? Be a blessing. How free are you to let God use it? You know, it shouldn't be a struggle. We have to deny ourselves, because what is first ripe, we are most fond of. But we ought to be most fond of God. And then we need to give God the first and best that we have, because that is a sign that He is first in our life. You know, Jesus said an interesting statement in Matthew 6:21. He said, where your treasure is an indication of where your heart is. What we invest in most tells a lot about us. It tells a lot about how we live, about what we value, about what we consider important. What does God's gift say about Him? You ever think about that? Does God's gift to the world speak of love? Unconditional? Here's my son. My only son. So we need to honor God with our substance. So what does God want in our giving? I wrote down some qualities about what God wants in our giving. Number one, he wants us to be faithful. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. I can readily see that this message won't be completed today. But thank God. 1 Kings chapter 17. God wants us to be faithful in giving. Say, I'm faithful. And let's start with verse 8, 1 Kings 17, 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, he's talking to Elijah, he said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. Have you ever wondered why God commanded a widow? Why couldn't he command a rich person to take care of him? Huh? But the Lord is telling Elijah, I've commanded a widow to sustain you. Well, it's going to take faith on that widow's part to do any kind of sustenance. Because number one, they're in the midst of a drought. That's when it did not rain for 3 years until Elijah spoke the word of God. And so they're in the middle of the drought, so crops aren't doing too good. The animals look kind of thin, all right? So how is a widow going to sustain the man of God? Through faithfulness, through obedience. You know, God will never ask of you what you don't have. He'll always ask of you what you have. He asked Moses, Moses said, how am I going to deliver the people? He said, what's in your hand? I got a stick. A stick. God used a stick to deliver Israel. Because he brought the plagues with that stick. He opened the Red Sea with that stick. He proved Moses' calling with that stick. If God can use a stick, do you think you got something that he can use? Focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Jesus, when he went to feed 5,000 people, he asked his disciples, he said, what are you going to do to feed these people? Well, one guy said, well, this much money, it's not going to be enough to feed the people. But then another disciple said, well, we have this little boy here who has a small lunch. But what is that among so many? He said, I'll take the little and make it a lot. Just give it to me. You ever try to get food away from a little boy about between the ages of 7 to 10? It's a miracle for him to give up his lunch. But look what happened. Okay, back to 1 Kings 17. So, verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. Isn't that a coincidence? God just told him that a widow woman was going to take care of him. He gets to the city, and there's a widow woman there gathering sticks. Amazing how God works. Okay? And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she was going to fetch it. Notice, upon his one request, she was going to do what he asked. That's faithfulness. He didn't have to tell her twice. He didn't have to write a note. He said, go and get me some water, and she was going to get it. And on her way to go get the water, okay, he called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. Everybody put out your hand. Okay? This was all that she had. Can God use that? Yes. It doesn't matter if you have a lot or a little. It matters is what you do with it. Okay? She only had a handful. And she said, I have a little oil in a cruse. I'm gathering sticks that I may go and dress it for me and for my son that we may eat it and die. She's getting ready to have her last meal party. Okay? For thus, and Elijah said unto her, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. See, if you're going to worship God in giving, it's going to involve you trust. You ever play a game of trust? Where you would get somewhere on a high point, you would close your eyes and people would be behind you, and you would just fall back? We used to do that in college. Why don't we do a demonstration of that today? Let's see in here who's really trusting. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe I'll just wake you up a little bit. I don't know. He said, fear not. Why would fear come in when you're about to give something? Because fear, you're afraid of losing it. You're afraid it's not going to come back to you. You're afraid that God is not going to fulfill His promise. So fear will make you hold on to it. When the Lord is prompting you to give it, fear will make you hold on to it, and there's a battle. What are people going to think? What are people going to think? I know, we've gone through some similar thoughts like that, haven't we? I better get moving. Okay. He said, fear not, go and do as you have said, but, everybody say but. Aren't you glad when God butts in? He tells us to butt out, but He butts in. Amen? Because when He butts in, He's about to do a miracle. Make me, therefore, a little cake, what? First. Who was Elijah? He was a man of God. He was a prophet of God. He was representing God's kingdom. What did Moses tell the Israelites to do when they first came into the land? Take of the first crops and bring it to the priest. So Elijah was representative of the priest because there was no other priest around her at that moment, and he already had a word from God that the widow was going to take care of him. All right? But make me a cake first. Bring it unto me. She had to bring it unto him. Did we hear that before? God wants your presence as well as your presence. Your gifts as well as your person. And after, everybody say after. Make for thee and for your son. But she only had enough for her and her son. She didn't have enough for a third party. But when you give it into the hands of the Master, when you give it into the kingdom of God, He's going to bless you on the other end. Okay? For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat. How many? Many days. Everybody say many. How long was many? It was long. It was as long until the drought was finished. That cake is representative of her tithe because she was blessed on what she did with it first. And she brought it to the man of God first as an act of faith. So God wants our faithfulness in giving. He wants us to be full of faith, trusting Him. Knowing that He is going to give it back unto us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, God will cause man to put it into your bosom. That's a beautiful picture of how the Lord works. When you put, see, sequence matters. I'm so glad that all of you today, you got dressed before you got into the car. I think there'd be a problem if you try to get dressed while you're in the car. Especially trying to drive while you're getting dressed in the car. Sequence matters, right? What you do first determines what God will do second. This lady, I don't know what God told her. But she was willing. She was obedient. She was cheerful about it. She didn't try to figure out why Elijah was telling her. You know, all you preachers want, all you want is food. You come over to my house and all you want is food. But it saved her life. It saved her son's life. Without that act of faith, she really would have had her last meal. But it took faith to give up your last. But she honored God first. And the Lord blessed her as a result. Because there's something about giving with a good attitude and a pure motive that touches the heart of God. Now, God requires us to pay a tithe. Well, Pastor, that's just in the Old Testament. That's just under the law. Well, Abel paid a tithe. Abraham paid a tithe. And Jacob paid a tithe all before the law ever came about. Where did they get the information to pay a tithe? It was their relationship with God. Then Moses instituted the law. And then he said in Leviticus, he said, the tithe is holy. It belongs to the Lord. You mess with the tithe, you're messing with God's stuff. And you don't want to mess with God's stuff. Because then your stuff will be opened to the enemy. Because when you mess with God's stuff, you remove yourself from his protective covering of grace on your life. Are you with me? So, God wants us faithful in giving. God wants us consistent in giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, the first day of every week, prepare. Whatever your pay scale is. Maybe you get paid weekly. Maybe you get paid biweekly. You know, maybe you work on commission. But however your pay scale is, take time the first day of the week to prepare and bring it before the Lord. Aren't you glad God is consistent in His loving? Aren't you glad God is consistent in His faithfulness? Aren't you glad God is faithful? That whenever you're in trouble, you can cry out to Him and He'll be there. Some people don't cry out to Him unless they're in trouble. You know, in the last days, the Bible talks about there was a group of people that appeared before the Lord. And they said, Lord, we did miracles in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We performed healings in your name. And Jesus is going to look at him and say, I never knew you. How could you do all this stuff and not know the Lord? Well, you could do it as part of a group that does it. Oh, yes, my group and I, we did this. But what did you do? Jesus said, I never knew you. It's all about knowing Him. And when you know Him, I guarantee you, when you know Him, for He is a giver, you will get that giving nature on you and nothing will be held between you and God. Because He's a giver. So we need to be consistent in our giving. We need to be obedient in our giving. You know, sometimes God doesn't manufacture money. He's not a counterfeiter. So if He wants to get money to you, how is He going to do it? He's going to use you and I. He's going to use people. He's going to whisper in your ear, hey, I want you to help out this couple with this. I want you to go there. So in obedience, you go and you do what He told you to do. In faith. You're doing it because He told you to do it. So you're doing it in obedience, but that's based on relationship. And when you do it, when you obey Him, whoo, tell you what, God will bless you. I'm a living example. God has blessed us. He has made up the difference of our mistakes and our shortfalls and our bad judgments and our bad decisions. But God has been faithful. He's been able to see us through things. He helped me eliminate my credit card debt. How many know that when your very first credit card, you get a little crazy? I was in college. I was crazy. I let that thing go. And boy, it went. And He delivered me. I needed deliverance. And since we've been married, we've never had a credit card. Well, we did, but we paid it off. So, Praise the Lord. I just want to share with you one thing. All right, go with me to James chapter 1. I'm not going to get through all the reasons why. Let me just tell them to you. We need to be generous in giving. We need to be cheerful in giving. It ought to bring a smile on your face. Some people, they're not so cheerful because of what God asked them to give. We need to be worshipful in giving. We need to be trusting in giving. We need to have ability in giving. God will never ask you for what you don't have. He'll only ask you for what you have, what you're able to do. And we need to have a willingness in giving. James chapter 1 and verse 5. I just want to bring out some qualities of God. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, how many has ever lacked wisdom before? Okay, to raise your hand. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men. Everybody say all. Liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. He didn't say you had to be a good person. He didn't say, but he said if you lack wisdom and you ask of God, he's going to give to all liberally without holding back anything. I just want you to give you a little snapshot of how God gives. He gives liberally. He gives lavishly. He gives abundantly. He's able to do abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Okay? Go to John. Well, we already know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave the world who was against him, who was filled with sin, who was not in relationship with him, he gave them his son. What did he reap as a result of that gift? He got a family. He got you and I coming into the family of God. So God wanted a family. So what did he do? He planted his son. His son was his tithe. He was the firstborn among many brethren. He was God's first fruit. He planted him in the earth that was taken over by the devil at the time. And his gift turned the sin around. It destroyed sin and it gave us a way to come to the Father. What an incredible gift. Go with me to Romans 8:32. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. And listen to what this verse says. Read it along with me. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us some things? All things? How's he going to give you all things freely? If he didn't spare his own son, how shall he not also freely give, say, give me all things? God wants to give you all things, but he wants all of you as a seed. If he doesn't have all of you, you're not going to have all of his things. Because giving is reciprocal. When you give, you have to obey the commands in giving. And in Israel's day, they had three tithes. One went to the Levite. One went to the temple. And one went to the stranger, the orphan, and the widow in the third year. They had three tithes. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians. Are you getting a picture of how God gives? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 12. These verses get me really, 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 really excited. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. It's the Holy Spirit who shows you what you've been given. He shows you what belongs to you. He shows you what you have. He reveals it to you. And when you have that revelation, you can begin to walk in it. You can begin to walk in new life. You can walk in peace. You can walk in protection. When you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, dwelling in His secret place, He protects you. He delivers you from the snare of the fowler and the arrow that flies by day. He protects you and keeps you safe that no harm comes near you or your dwelling place. But that's based on you dwelling. Your dwelling is a seed to that. And then go with me to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Well, what does a sun and shield do? It gives life and it protects you. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that what? Walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold. And all He wants you to do is to walk uprightly. That means walk in righteousness. Put on a breastplate of righteousness and walk in it. Walk in who you are in Christ and what He has created you. But see, when we worship God in giving, it's a giving of our whole self. Our material things are just an indication of what we value. But when you worship God in giving, you will touch the Father's heart. You'll be in close relationship with Him. He'll show you things to come. He'll talk with you. He'll reveal His secret truths to you. It's a beautiful thing. When we walk this way, when we worship God in our giving, and if we're not tithing, then that's the place where we got to start. It begins with tithing because that's a commandment. Do you realize that in the New Testament, it doesn't so much mention tithing except when Jesus talked to the Pharisees? But do you realize the early church in Acts chapter 4, you know what they did? They had properties, lands, and possessions, and they sold them. They didn't even give a portion to God. They gave the whole amount. And the Bible says that in that atmosphere of giving, no one lacked. Can you imagine if we as a church, and if someone had a mortgage on their house, someone else had another house that they sold and paid off that mortgage, imagine what would happen. The Bible says that no one lacked. In that atmosphere, no one lacked. So they gave a lot more than 10% in the New Testament. We're to give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. He loves when you give with a smile on your face. It's Christmas time every day in the Lord. It's your birthday every time in the Lord. It's a time. Christmas is where the Christians ought to excel. It's the year of giving because of what God gave us. He gave us the greatest gift of all, salvation. It can't come through it can't come through an online store. It can't come through a department store. It comes through Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. And we just have to open up the package. Too many times we leave the package wrapped. We need to open up the package and find out what has us. When you open up your Christmas gifts, do you say, oh, that's nice, and put it aside? I don't know about you, but if it's something I can use, I try it on, I play with it, whatever. I don't know if you're like me, but when I open a Christmas gift, I put it to use. Christmas Day, if I get clothes on Christmas, I always wear something that I got. I put it to use right away. That's what we need to do with the Bible. Look at what God gave us. Look at all that's included in this gift. And He just wants you to, first of all, honor Him with what's most important. to you. See, when a person doesn't tithe, well, number one, they're in fear. Because when Elijah told the lady, he said, fear not, because fear is taking place there. You're afraid that you're not going to get it back, or you're afraid that you're losing it. No, you're making an investment into the kingdom. And I guarantee you, I guarantee that God will get it back to you. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll get it back to you. God's payday may not be every Friday, but it's never late. He'll always provide. He always will. Put him to. This is the only place in the Bible he said, prove me. If I'm not telling the truth, prove me. Put your money where your mouth is and prove me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out. See, the tithe just opens the windows of heaven. It causes God to look down, and he pours out his blessing on you. And he rebukes the devourer. You know what the devourer is? That's a seed eater. He'll gobble up your future harvest. Someone say, praise the Lord. Someone say, amen. Say this. Say, I am a giver because I have the nature of the giver on the inside of me. He's given me everything I need, want, and desire, and therefore I give my life back to him. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're here today,